Holy fucking haircut, you little fucking... Turn your mute off, you fuck.
Your fucking head look... You look like that sheep. Did you see that sheep that they found in the wild that had 80 pounds of fur on it? And then they shaved it? They got...
Okay, just press record starting now. And we're going to publish this, like, immediately after we're done.
All right. What? Turn you up. You look like Donald Trump Jr., by the way, with your beard. Turn it up a little bit.
Who, me?
Yeah, turn your mic. Turn your mic up a little bit.
All right, there you go. One level.
That sounds good.
It's mine. Mine's fine.
Do I sound good? I think we all sound good.
Yeah, you sound good. Everybody sounds great.
Yeah, I have a meeting in 15 minutes. Just I'm putting that out there.
All right.
What's
up? We just need 10. Okay, or is it recording?
You got a big announcement?
Oh, this is a huge announcement. I was afraid to speak almost because of all of the shenanigans been going on with my freaking microphone and technology and all that stuff, but I got a new microphone, so this is a mini podcast to see if it works and to see if I have the ability to make it work, and clearly it is, and clearly we're making headway here. So let's talk for 15 minutes and then we're gonna go away.
I gotta thank Jeff Duro, who stepped up to the plate last time. And Jeff always comments on the podcast, and he says, you know, the sound is shitty, the sound is good, the sound is bad. And he says, why don't you bug me? He said, bug me if you're having problems with your audio. And so Jeff stepped up last time. That's why we posted, then we reposted it. And yeah, so Jeff took the audio and fixed it the best he could. But because your mic was dropped or something and it was so overmodulated, he said even having it lower is better to work with than having it overmodulated. So,
really? Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you to him for sure for doing that.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing? What's going on today?
I am... It's so funny. You look like you just got out of jail, Eric, because your hair is so short.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Eric, what am I working on?
It's like the many moods of Eric. Like, Eric, what in the hell, son? Like, 3 weeks ago, you looked like, you know, you were a homeless person. A week ago, you looked like you were dead. And today, you have a fresh haircut and shaved beard. What's going on, buddy?
It's just the circle of life.
Who shaves it? Do you shave it?
Only shave like once a year. That's just how it goes.
Who cuts your hair?
He sticks his head out the window of his house, wait till it freezes, and then he just breaks the hair follicles off.
Yeah, I just snap off the hairs. No, I go to like a friend who cuts hair.
Okay.
Is this a friend, a guy or a girl?
It's a girl who cuts hair.
Yeah. I can see. So your wife... Yeah, your wife calls
A journeyman hair stylist.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
That's got to be a thing now because so many people can't go to the barber. There's got to be guys traveling to cut hair. I mean, that's obviously a good niche right now.
Yeah, what do you mean? Is everyone still locked down?
Kind of. Oh, you're in Texas. Those things don't matter there, right?
No, not at all. Everyone does everything now. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Are you guys fully open?
Locked down?
Yeah, we're open. What do you mean? Closed for what? The flu?
Restaurants open full capacity?
All of them. Yeah, go ahead, eat whatever you want.
Wow,
everything's open here too.
Everything's pretty much open here, but you know they do still have social distancing seating where every other booth is set up.
Yeah, there's still the limits, I guess.
So
Jimmy, I saw that you're doing your barn. You're putting the wood up. It's going to look amazing. You chose the cut lumber instead of the plywood, which I think is a bonus.
Oh, it's going to look so good. GM Mike is the guy who does it. GM for, because he's a General Motors engine expert. So GM Mike suggested, he's like, hey, because I had a thought.
Speaking in like how you saved him in your contact list?
Well, yeah, Mike. Only because I say Mike, I know so many Mikes. It could be Mike the fireman. So everyone has to get their prefix. So GM Mike, sure. General Motors Mike said, he goes, hey, why don't we just plank it? And he didn't realize there was a sawmill down the block. He's like, I have a million trees. We can just cut up my trees. He's got 10 acres of trees. I was like, you know what? I go, let's just go to the sawmill. He goes, what sawmill? I go, the one that's 4 miles down the road. So I went there. I bought 360 1x8s, 16 feet long. And it was literally half the price. So, 130 sheets of plywood was about $7,000, and 350 pieces of 16 foot 1x8 was about $3,000.
Are they dry, like ready to go?
No, they're going to shrink like crazy. They're going to go from 8 inches.
Put them on there and let them shrink.
6 inches, yeah. But we're going to put black tar paper behind everything. So when it shrinks, the lines will be black.
Jimmy, that's so nice.
It's gonna be nice.
You could board and batten it if you wanted.
Nah, I don't like that look. I don't mind it shrinking. And then, you know,
screw you.
Yeah.
Could you put a dehumidifier in there to pull all the moisture out?
Well, the room is hot because the floor is hot. So the room is going to definitely, already, like, we got our first batch of 50 pieces because they're going to cut them to fit. We have them all stickered. These guys are really smart. These guys totally know what they're doing.
What's the monthly heating cost for the heated floors?
Roughly? Honestly, I pay about $800 for a 1,000-gallon tank that lasts about 3 months. So what's 800 times three? You know, and I have it turned. I turn it way down. The only reason I had it up,
like,
was because when I was
propane or natural gas.
Propane in the buried in the back.
Right. Yeah.
The only problem is the guys. I always tip them heartily because they back up to that long driveway where the barn is, and then they have to drag the hose like 100 feet through the snow because the road access doesn't go. I thought we were going to make an access road, which we will, that goes around the barn to right where the tank fills. And these guys would drive up and then back around to the left side of the barn. Anyway, they have to drag, and they're always kind of annoyed, but they pretend like they're not annoyed.
So, Jimmy, the whole point of me bringing this up was 2 points. One, the first point is that the barn's going to look amazing.
Oh, it's going to look good.
It's going to look really good for the first 16 feet. My fear, and point number two is that for the rest of your life, there's going to be exposed pink insulation that was previously on the floor and has dirt stains on it and water stains. And it's just going to look like shit from the 16 feet up.
No. We're going to go. Those how long they are, but we're going to stagger them for the rest. I try to get 20-foot planks. The sawmill's not that long. So we're going to stagger it. Right. So except for where the second floor will go in, everything's going to be covered. The peaks, everything's going to be covered. Except for like that sill plate up. Because we got to put the trusses in. We can't have the walls in the place. So when we do that, then we'll stand on the new floor, probably in 10, 12 months. But the good thing is this: we're shooting this TV project here going into the spring. So the producers were all here this week doing like a look-see and scouting. And they're really excited about doing everything in that room. And so they're walking around looking at all the machines. They go, can we have this machine here? Can we have that machine? So we're going to put the new big Cincinnati drill press in there. I'm going to put – oh, thanks, Will. We're going to put the that new vise stand I got, I'm going to put the big heavy vise in there. So all the antique tools are going to be kind of carefully curated in there. So it's going to be really cool. The big old bandsaw. So it's gonna, and then it's going to be like the laser cutters on one side and the plasma cutter. And we're going to get a new CNC machine to put in there, a 4x8. And all the antique machines will be curated. So it's going to look really nice in there.
Awesome, dude. And very, very cool.
With the walls. Patrick got all the electric buttoned up. So that's good. So, I mean, and there's always room for more. We have like a couple of extended boxes with plenty of room. So I'm excited. I'm finally doing it. You know, it's like it's costing tens of thousands of dollars, but whatever.
What do you think your all in cost of that barn will be once it's fully complete?
I stopped counting at like $200,000. I could go like the big swaths. I think I talked about it on the podcast last time we were together, where I was just like, when I pay for something, I emotionally suppress the number. So when somebody asks me in a couple of weeks, how much did you pay? I go, I don't know. I'd have to go into hypnotherapy to remember.
Right, right. So, I'm at like a little over $600,000 on my two new buildings.
Yeah.
And now when these contractors ask for a draw or ask for, you know, a wire, I'm just like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I mean,
you just want it done.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you're going to add another $2,000 or another $3,000 or another $2,000. Like, okay, great. Just as long as you're happy, please just finish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, these guys that are doing the barn, it's a big, you know, it's a big number, and you know, the things keep changing. So the number will change at the end, but at the end of the day, I give them $5,000 every 10, 12 days. If I just keep them flowing money and I feeling happy about money coming in, instead of giving them one big check and then being like, oh God, you know, did I make a mistake? So it takes the pain away. I get a check for $5. I write them a check for $5. I get another check for, you know, for $8 for something. I write them another check for $5. So the pain is like less. It's like,
it's like, in your hands for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So
I just watch money getting sucked out of my account like a Hoover vacuum's on the other end.
Dude, could you tell us about that broken pipe? Like, how are you going to deal with that? Do you have to get a new TV and all your entertainment center? Is it really that fucked?
Oh, yeah, in my house? Yeah, for sure, yeah. So you've been in my house. I have Yeah. Beautiful hand scraped hardwood floors. I mean, that's a $100,000 project right there for them to fix.
Oh man, the floors are all swollen too. I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah. That's $100,000 just for downstairs. And then all the TV and all the electronics that do the surround sound for the entire house were in those cabinets. They're just flooded, like just submersed in water.
You opened the drawer that was filled with water. That's fucking crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
Do you guys have insurance down there? How can you deal with this?
Yeah, yeah. The insurance paying for all that.
Oh, good. So you're going to definitely be covered. Yeah. Then they're going to pay for it and then drop you. And then no one's ever going to pick you up again.
Well, whatever.
I don't understand how the insurance company can have enough money to pay out everyone.
Because they take money for fucking hundreds of years and they don't pay anybody back.
I know, but they're dumb, just like everybody else. Like they'll just be like, "Oh yeah, we only kept $500 million in the bank." So
they'll just raise rates. That's what they'll do: raise rates for everybody globally.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a giant tax on everybody. Yeah.
Dude, you know, I don't even want to tell you what my homeowner's insurance is because you guys will fucking hang up on me. But I pay an extra $2,000. Am I still on? What am I signed out of? Oh, all right. Something just changed. I pay an extra $2,000 outside of what's attached to my mortgage. So it's like what's in my mortgage payment is I don't even know because my mortgage payment is just whatever the number is. But outside of that, because the rates keep increasing, I have like a whole account that's the spillover for my homeowner's insurance. And that is $2,000.
Every month?
No. You know, spread out through the year. But it started like, your rates went up. We'll just charge you on a separate ticket for the extra $100 a year. I'm like, okay, great. That was like 3 years ago. Now it's $2,000 extra.
Yeah. The other thing you have to be careful with about these insurance companies is how your policy is actually written. Like when I was younger and built a house before this one and had a hailstorm and it killed the roof, of course, and I called the insurance company to make a claim and it killed the fence and everything. Like, okay, your hail damage for you is 2% of the home's value. And I'm like, well, shit, it was a big number. 2% was like, I can't remember, it was like $20,000 or $30,000 for the deductible, right? Have to be careful. I changed it after that to 1% and then lower than that after that. But you got to be really careful about how that.
Well,
you know.
A funny thing is I have an umbrella policy that pays for basically anything in my life that gets stolen, damaged, or on fire, right? My umbrella policy. That's why it's so expensive because it covers my New York apartment up here, the houses.
Yeah, and you keep losing those umbrellas like crazy.
And so what happened when the trailer – I do, right? I left my umbrella in the city. I lost my trailer. My trailer got stolen. And I had, like, previously to my trailer getting stolen – I went and negotiated a higher deductible for a lower rate. And they're like, okay, she's doing the key. She's like, okay, your deductible is 10,000 or whatever, 7,000 to 8,000. She goes, how much was the trailer? I go, the trailer's like $6,500. She's like, okay, do you still want to go forward with this? I was like, it makes no sense. Like, I'm going to give you the money to give it back to me. And she's like, okay, so you don't want to do this? You don't want to fall? I'm like, are you a fucking robot? The math doesn't make. I go, no, thank you. Have a nice day. And then I got a letter in the mail. It's like, are you sure you don't want to go forward with this? Your deductible is this. You're claiming this. It's just like everything. It just put like all the system into effect, which was completely unnecessary once the math was the math.
Yeah. So my insurance company is so funny. They're like, they want me to get a certified letter from an electronics specialist saying that stuff is no longer functional. And I go, what about the video showing it underwater? Does that help?
Oh, all that is just a smokescreen to fucking make you go, fuck it, I'll just pay for it again.
I'm not saying fuck it.
I know.
Stuff too expensive.
Absolutely. No, but that's all that is. Like, I remember going into, like years ago, I lost my cell phone. And I had some policy where, like, I can go in and get a new cell phone with Sprint or some shit. And I went into Sprint. I'm like, yeah, I lost my cell phone. Didn't I have insurance? Like, oh, you need a police report. I go, what the fuck do the police need to be involved for?
A police report.
You need a police report that you lost your phone. I'm like, why? I'm not going to waste the time of the New York City Police Department to get a police report. They're like, that's the thing you signed. You need a police report that says your phone, you lost it somewhere. I go, I lost it in the street. They're like, you need a police report. So I go to the precinct and I go and I'm like, do you do this thing for I really don't want to waste your time. And the guy rolled his eyes. I said, forget it. And I just left and I went and bought a new phone. I was too embarrassed to ask him for the letter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You should film a video of you showing how the electronics don't work. And every time you press the on button, it just plays smoke.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
every single appliance.
Yeah. Even the guy goes, so are these like the one of them's Hardin Karman whatever speaker system?
Yeah.
You know, kind of expensive. And he was like, is this thing like a couple $100, like $500, you know, $300? And I was like, no, try like $6,500 for this box.
Right.
You know? He's like, oh yeah, we're gonna have to have that certified. Like, we can't just do that without. I'm like, dude, it was underwater. Like, look, I go, look, I'll pour water out of it. Like, you want me to plug it in and get electrocuted? Like, you're crazy.
So did you, what other damage did your house suffer? And let me ask you just a stupid question. You didn't have heat on because the electric was down on your grid, so everything froze? That's basically the math, I'm assuming.
No, it's more bizarre than that. So in between the first and second floor is the plumbing for the upstairs bathroom in the guest bedroom. And that bathroom is on an exterior wall,
right?
And I guess because it's Texas, you know, we don't have them insulated like
we do.
Like y'all would.
Is there any insulation? Like, there has to be.
I don't think so. I think,
like, how does air conditioning, they just screw it,
it blows through the windows? No,
the whole attic and stuff on above the second floor is insulated, like, right. Lots of insulation. But I think the soffit vents, air must blow through the soffit vents and
cold. So cold air was basically exploring its way through your house through the walls.
Yeah, totally. And
so you had heat on while that froze. It just wasn't heat enough to keep the house completely warm.
Yeah, heat was on fine. I just thought. I mean, it's a crazy phenomenon.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How many people had problems?
So that happened to rip all the cabinets and everything out of the living room, out of my bedroom, all the floors, everything.
Oh. At least there's going to be a lot of guys going back to work because of this shit.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully.
The insurance companies are going to go bankrupt.
Everything is just steam powered now.
Awesome. Dude, talk before I got to jump, but talk for 2 minutes about that psychopathic power hammer that you showed us yesterday. Like, why is that a thing? Like, why did they make more than one of them? I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a cool hammer. And we're talking about the Blacker power hammer that has the head of the hammer traverses right and left. I'm going to highlight it today on my Instagram.
Is that for the guy that doesn't have arms, that just walks up holding it in his teeth?
It's for wheelchair blacksmithing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
no, it's designed because the hammer functions off of a 500-pound anvil with a wide face, and it has some different cutouts on the anvil so that you can manipulate metal in different ways. But the reason the head traverses right and left is so that you can use the entire length of that anvil.
Instead of wearing out like a spot.
Yeah. Or if you're doing a long piece, you know, you can leave that piece sitting on the anvil in one particular place and work it, you know.
The thing looks like it's going to explode any single time you touch it.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a rodeo. It's such a cool hammer, though. It really is a cool piece, but it is very dangerous also.
And don't you have, like, those two steel things? Are they literally spring-loaded to twist, or are they mechanically loaded to twist? You know what I mean?
Which part?
Is it like the hammer that goes up and down? Like, it seems like those two things that hold the hammer bracket.
Oh yeah.
Do they torque like this?
I don't think they torque like that, but they do torque up and down. But there's a ball in there that they, you know, kind of like a ball and socket type fitting.
Because it's really bizarre. I just wonder how long it's going to go before any of those joints just fatigue and just, like, you know, throw a 1-inch rod of steel through somebody's neck.
Yeah, the failure of any point in that tool is extremely dangerous.
Yeah,
it's more than a lot of other ones.
Yeah. Man. So I'll highlight it on my Instagram today. It's a dangerous hammer. I'm going to sell it. Actually, I got another one. I got two of those. And
it immediately starts walking across the floor the minute you step on it.
Oh, yeah. You got to bolt it down.
But like, if you
don't bolt it down.
You got to bolt it. You got to get on the other side of the earth to put a nut and screw on it, because it'll just, like, rip the sidewalk out.
Yeah, the whole thing's going to be just trying to pull it out of the ground the entire time.
It's crazy.
Whereas, like, most things, you're just bolting them to anchor them to the concrete so that they stay in a static place. Like, they're not trying to eject themselves from the orbit of Earth. Like, they want to stay there, and you're just helping them stay there. This thing is like a full-on bucking bronco.
Guys, I have to jump. I can mute you and go to my other meeting if you guys want to keep talking.
It's fine.
Post it. This is the mini podcast.
All right,
just to see if he fixed the sound.
All right, and then we didn't do the complicated soundtrack. We just did Skype, so I think it'll be okay. All right, guys.
All right.
Love you.
Okay. Have a great day, guys. See y'all.
Bye.
Bye.